Welcome to Unhinged with your host, Teresa Romer, motivational speaker, fashion expert, and fashion guru.
We have an amazing guest with us today. She likes to be called Heidi Summers, but we don't call her Heidi Summers. We call her Buff Bunny because that's what you're really known for is Buff Bunny.
Yeah.
Tell us how you came up with the name Buff Bunny.
Buff Bunny. So that was a nickname with social media a long time ago. Back in the day, they used to everyone had like fun nicknames right. on social media. Mine was Buff Bunny, and a lot of people ended up changing theirs to their real name. I just never did. And I was like, I kind of like having like this fun alter ego name, and people really like the name, so I started a brand from it.
And how long ago was that?
Oh gosh, so I've been doing social media since 2013, I think. So, wow. Yeah, about 10 years.
Wow.
And then Buff Bunny Collection started 2016, so it's been almost 7 years since I started the brand.
So Buff Bunny Collection, let's fill them in so they can't, like, they're trying to visualize this.
Yeah.
So Buff Bunny Collection is fitness wear.
Yeah.
Did it start out as fitness wear? It's always been fitness wear?
It's always been fitness wear. So we have dabbled into bags. I'm going to have to give you a few of them so you can check them out.
Yeah.
I know your love for bags. But yeah, I just started off creating leggings, sports bras, tops. Starting it off, I just wanted to create items that I loved. So very good quality, things that would last a long time. I had certain colors that I liked. And so that's what kind of inspired starting the brand.
So in order to start a fitness wear brand, you had to be a fitness wear girl then. You were a workout girl, you lived in fitness wear,
yes.
You liked probably some name brands.
Yeah, I kind of dabbled in quite a few brands.
Like Lululemon,
yeah,
Fabletta.
I would say I mainly wore, gosh, actually Nike was a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Lululemon. Reebok.
I didn't really wear
Athleta too much. I think at that point I was a Brooke Paul student, so I think I was more so like clearance at Lululemon, Nike clearance.
Does Lululemon ever have a clearance?
Yeah, well, they have a sales section. Yeah, so I would kind of dabble into that. And so I wanted to start something that more people could afford, and then also that was good quality. And just being as a gym goer, sometimes I was like,
right.
Oh, there's little things that I would pay attention to. I'm like,
yeah.
I don't really like it when there's a seam on my knee. So I don't want to make leggings with a seam on the knee. Or, oh, I don't want to create a sports bra that has something uncomfortable in the back.
Right.
So I do all kinds of weird testing. I need to record it one day. But if I'll put on a sample and I just like lay on my back and I'm like rolling around. And my team's like, nobody's doing that. And I was like, but if they did,
yes,
I want to make
right.
sure it's comfortable.
Well, because have you ever like put a t-shirt on, it's kind of too big, so you put a knot in the back.
Yeah.
And then you go to lay down to do crunches or do whatever,
exactly.
And then you're like, oh great, now I have a knot.
Yeah.
In my, you know,
you need to kind of like move it around. And exactly, so same thing, I'm like, I don't want a knot in my back.
Right. So that's good though that you test everything out first.
100, like so much testing goes
right,
into it.
Right.
Yeah.
So which came first, the social media fame or, you know, because there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. Some people come out with a product and they really don't have a big following, and then they can't figure out how come they can't get things sold.
Mm-hmm.
So did you have the big following before you came out with the products?
Yeah, I think I had, gosh.
Because you got to have people buy things, so people have
yeah.
to know who you are.
Yeah, I would say there's two different ways that you can do it, which I've seen people do things differently. I would say I had, gosh, I want to say 500,000 followers on Instagram when I started Buff Bunny Collection. So I did have that advantage.
Right.
However, there's people with a really big following that don't really convert to sales
right.
because you have to build that trust with people.
Right.
And I think that's where some people can go wrong, or maybe their audience isn't necessarily women. Maybe sometimes it's men and
right.
men aren't going to buy your products.
Right.
So having the right audience and also being able to create that trust with the people that follow you.
Right.
So I never promote anything that I 100% don't believe in. And
right.
people will say that,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes I don't mean it.
Right.
So for me, I'm like, oh, absolutely not. Like, unless I'm very sure and I've tested the
right.
products.
And so we know you've got a huge following on Instagram. It's getting close to 1 million, isn't it?
1.6 now, yeah.
Oh, it's over. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I had that reversed.
No,
I had that reversed. So
yeah,
you're at 1.6 million on Instagram and almost closer, getting close to a million on YouTube.
Yes.
So
yes.
Do you feel like you get more sales from YouTubers or from Instagram? Because I find it hard to drag my Instagram people over. Like, I have more followers on Instagram than I do YouTube, and I can't seem to get my followers from Instagram to come over to YouTube.
Yeah.
They're like, well, no, we're not interested in your YouTube. We just like you on Instagram.
Yeah, I would say it's different audiences. So I have some people, same thing, where they'll either follow me on YouTube or Instagram. Or it's hard to get people from Instagram to YouTube, but mm-hmm. it's easier to get people from YouTube to Instagram.
That's what I have found. It's like, a lot of my YouTubers follow me on Instagram, mm-hmm. but my Instagrammers won't go to YouTube and follow me.
There's like diehard YouTubers and diehard Instagrammers.
And I'm like, I'm going to convert you, and yet it doesn't happen. They're like, you have almost 600,000 on Instagram. Why can't you get them over here to YouTube? And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's almost like what you're posting on Instagram, post that on YouTube. That way you're being able to utilize that content in different areas. And like, shorts are great on YouTube right now.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, they're great. So being able to grow on YouTube is amazing. And then you'll eventually be able to bring those to Instagram.
But it's funny. What's funny though is Instagram on my side is so big, which contains fashion and bags and closet and...
The good closet content.
But those are the people on YouTube too. They love the closet. So yeah. I'm like, so why don't y'all come over to YouTube? It's just weird.
Yeah, I would say with YouTube, I've noticed you have to almost post very frequent, like every day almost. Yeah. The people that are posting every day, like
I do three times a week, but...
Yeah, I would try to do something and see if you see a difference and upload like a short every single day on YouTube. That's what I'm doing right now. And I'm like, okay, I'm seeing...
So you don't think the shorts take away from the actual content? Because I was doing shorts for a while, and I felt like, the algorithm is just weird out there. Yeah. I can't figure it out. But I was doing shorts, quite a lot of shorts, and I felt like it was taken away from my views on my regular content. It was weird.
Really? I haven't seen that too much, but sometimes I think the shorts are almost boosting it into other people's mm-hmm. algorithms. So that's how people are finding.
Right.
I have found like great people on YouTube just because I'll see a short that gets a spike. And sometimes the shorts take 30 to 90 days to really like take off is what I'm hearing more so. They're like, don't delete your shorts because it's not doing well. Sometimes after like 90 days, it boosts back up. And I was like, okay, all right, let's try this out. Mm-hmm. And I have seen on a few shorts where maybe they didn't do as well.
Right.
And then you can also try, like after 90 days, it's like, hey, let me re-upload this thing on a different day. Because that's happened before someone just goes viral because they post on a different day, different time. It's crazy.
Right. So let's say, you're basically a woman entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You make your living from your Buff Bunny collection.
Yeah.
And if you've never seen her collection, believe me, we're going to leave all of the links out there so that you can like go check her out. But your Buff Bunny collection is amazing, and it's also in Alphaland.
Yes, we opened up our first retail store just over a year ago, so we're located inside Alphaland so people can touch and feel, and I wanted the store to be very inviting and very beautiful. And
it's very girly.
Yes. It's definitely very marble and very champagne gold. It reminds me of your house a little bit. Like a little piece of it. It's not quite your closet, but it's working its way
I know.
There.
I walked in and I'm like, oh, there's my floor.
Yeah. I thought the same thing. I was like, wow. We have similar tastes. I walk around your house and I'm like, this is beautiful. It's amazing.
So you didn't really have to have a man behind you to get going in life. You just did it on your own.
Yeah. Starting everything, I definitely did things by myself, like creating everything. But I think dating someone that is also an entrepreneur that also has that grind mindset definitely helps in the way that they're more understanding. I feel like in previous relationships they're kind of like, oh, all you do is work all the time, where it's like then you date someone that matches your hustle and they're like, oh, you're gonna be done working for the day, and you're like, all right,
aren't you?
So it's
right.
Fine.
So you don't feel so guilty. And I find that with my husband too. You don't feel as guilty. Like, I'll still be working at 10 o'clock at night and he doesn't care because he's still doing oil deals at 10 o'clock at night, you know?
Yes.
And so it really does help when you can find somebody that you're on the same page with. But it was interesting today while you were doing your photo shoot here at the house, we talked about how there was 3 years, you said, when you were single.
Yes.
And you did it purposely.
Yes.
No dating.
No dating.
No man.
No man.
No dates.
Nothing.
No nothing.
No, absolutely nothing.
No nothing.
Yeah. Yes. I'll talk about that. Yeah. And she's like, no. Like, he, talking to a guy, I was like, nope, absolutely nothing. Yeah, it was 3 years.
No booty calls. No nothing.
No booty calls. No, no nothing.
No. Just, and why did you do it?
So when I was, gosh, was I 20? I think I lived back in Alaska, and I had like a rough couple months. I was cheated on, got laid off from work, crashed my car. I was like, oh my gosh.
What else could go wrong?
And I think the cheating just kind of really messed with my head a little bit. I talked about this in a YouTube video a while back, but I feel like I just kind of fell out of love with myself. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, going through something like that can mess with your head. Like, oh, was I not good enough? Was I not pretty enough? Was I not kind enough? Was I this? It can mess with you, especially... Right. For one woman at a younger age, you know, you're still kind of figuring out love and relationships.
Sure.
So I was like, you know what? I'm going to take 1 year and just focus on myself. I don't want a date. I don't want a boyfriend. I don't want anything. And I would say it was a challenge at first because I definitely like, I'm a very vibrant person.
Yes.
I love people and I love, not attention. What's the word?
Well, and you like
company.
Company, intimacy,
yeah.
Somebody to hold you,
yeah.
Tell you how pretty you are,
exactly.
Just you know, that kind of thing.
You know,
yeah,
it's nice to have.
So at first it was hard not to have that.
So it was hard. I would say the first like 4 to 5 months, I was like, oh, this is kind of hard. But then after that, I mean, that's why 1 year turned into 3 years because I did the whole year and I was like, man, well, I don't want to just date anybody now.
Right.
Now it's like.
Now realizing you really have standards.
Yes. Oh my gosh. You put your standard. It went from like here to like. Psh, I was like, oh, I want this in a man, and I'm not going to settle until I find that. So that's why 1 year went to 3 years, and I waited until I found someone that was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Yeah. And I think it was really worth it. And in the sense of, again, you just learn so much about yourself, and you take yourself on dates, and then you really learn.
And
like,
wasn't that fun? I spent 14 years single. I mean, like, I did dates. You know?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, but you
probably
learn,
spent a lot of time on your own, right?
Right, but you learn to sit and read a book. You learn to. It's okay to go to a movie by yourself and not have to share your popcorn with anybody and cry if you want to, and nobody's going to make fun of you because you're crying.
Exactly.
Or it's fun to just go out to eat and. Have somebody walk up to you and just start talking to you because you are alone, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But half the time I get mad at them and go, really? Excuse me, you're in my space.
Yeah.
Well, you're all alone. No, I'm not. I'm by myself and I just, you know? So, yeah, I mean, like, I think sometimes you have to have some time to figure out who you are and what direction you're going to go and what you really want in life.
Exactly.
And it probably helped make you a stronger entrepreneurial type woman because of it.
Yeah, I think I learned a lot about myself during that time, and I was like, oh, I take no shit from anyone now. Can I say that on here?
Yeah. And if you don't know Heidi, or Buff Bunny, she's little, what are you, 5 foot? 5 foot.
Oh, you thought it was 5'2"?
Oh,
it was the boots. It might have been the boots.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay, it's the boots. She's an itty-bitty little tiny thing. We're going to nickname her Spinner.
Spinner, I like that. Itty-bitty.
So, anyways, guys, I just love interviewing strong entrepreneurial type women. I think we need to help support each other more and more all the time instead of cutting each other down. We need to embrace each other and support each other and help push each other up. Thank you once again for having this interview with us.
Oh my gosh, thank you
such
for
a pleasure.
Having me.
Yes.
And thank you for letting me use your closet for the secret project.
Yes. Which will be revealed shortly.
Very soon. Stay tuned.
We'll make sure. So,
yes.
And thank you so much, Buff Bunny, better known as Heidi Summers, for being our guest today.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.